Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
The big boys in the middle. That's good stuff, Ross. Herbert, a little pump fake, throws deep. He's got McConkey for another touchdown. And the young lad goes flying all the way back to his bench. Next stop, playoff.
Good Saturday evening and welcome to the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI. And I don't know what to say or where to begin, because on a day when NFL Network reported that Gerard Mayo would be back as Patriots head coach, barring a calamity in the final two games of the season, I think what happened on the Gillette Stadium turf today qualified as a calamity, a debacle, a disgrace. Patriots lose to the Chargers 40-7 in a game that had injury, insult. It had Ladd McConkey showing you why you should have drafted him and not traded the pick and taken Jalen Polk. It had some fans showing up to earn their way onto the thumbs up list here on the postgame show. And I'm going to give you a hint. Only the fans who showed up at Gillette Stadium today earned their way onto the thumbs up list. Everyone else in New England, from ownership straight on down through every single player, is on the thumbs down list after an absolute embarrassment of a football game. As I said, Patriots fall to 3-13 on a season that just can't end fast enough for Gerard Mayo and company. 40-7. Their past successes against Justin Herbert were gone. And gone is Nick Fitzy-Stevens. He was working elsewhere today. So joining me on the Six Rings postgame show is our pal, we'll call him the coach, usually an optimistic sort, and I'll be interested to see if he can bring any optimism to the discussion right now, because if they say that misery loves company, well, there's a lot of people in Patriot Nation looking for some company right now. John Lyons, how the heck are you?
Andy, this was not only the worst loss of the Gerard Mayo era, which has been obviously a brief era. This is a top five loss of the last 10 years for the Patriots. You look at the Saints last year losing 34-0 to them. Obviously, the Cowboys the week before, 38-3. San Francisco in 2020 beating them 30-6. That Buffalo playoff game, 47-17 in 2021. This is in that group. I mean, this was a dismal performance, really, from start to finish. I mean, the Patriots' first drive, they go 3-and-out. Then they allow an 11-play, 91-yard drive right after for the Chargers to go up 7-0. And, Andy, hate to say it, that was the first quarter. Game was essentially over at that point. And this was that type of game, and you mentioned it, that calamity, debacle, whatever. This is a game that if you look at the second half of this season and you have that demoralizing loss to the Colts where you allow that 18-19 play drive, whatever it was, plus the two-point conversion to lose. Then you come out of the bye week looking like the worst team in the NFL and largely non-competitive against an Arizona team that was not that good. Let's not forget, Cardinals, not that good. Then a couple weeks later, you play a pretty good Chargers team, but a Chargers team that this time last year, December of 2023, came to Foxborough and struggled to win 6-0. And you lose 40-7. I mean, it's the worst game of the Mayo Wolf era, whatever you want to call it. It's top five worst game of the last 10 years. Just truly, I look at this as an organizational embarrassment of an afternoon, Andy.
Absolutely. And I think that's what you have to call out, not one person. So, you know, I'm sure we'll take calls 617-779-7937. There were Fire Mayo chants at Gillette Stadium. I've seen hashtag Fire Mayo on Twitter. And he's in the crosshairs, but so too should Elliot Wolf, Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, who were they on camera today? Did I miss it, or were they not on camera?
No, I did not see any shots of the high chairs with Kraft or Kraft. Can we add one more thing into this discussion, Andy, as we go? Because Ladd McConkey over Jalen Polk is going to be the big talking point, I think, for a lot of people. Let's not also forget they chose Gerard Mayo over Jim Harbaugh as well. So,
well, I mean, they didn't even – Harbaugh wasn't even in the
conversation.
That's
the point, though, right? Didn't even talk to the guy. Didn't even talk to any of these other guys available.
That's a little misleading because you had already inked Gerard Mayo a year earlier.
Right? Like they didn't even interview a guy who just came in here and beat you by 33 points.
Right, but you couldn't. I mean, unless you wanted to pay the $15 million.
That's the choice they made. They chose that.
Right. but I mean, it wasn't really a choice at the time. When they decided Gerard Mayo was their coach, A, 5 years ago in Jerusalem, or more recently, prior to last season, you had Harbaugh as the head coach at Michigan. He hadn't won a title yet. I mean, there were a lot of butterfly effect type issues down the road. Now, you could just say they flat out screwed up. But my issue here is, if you are all in on Gerard Mayo, I'm fine with it. Have conviction. Stick with Gerard Mayo. But if there is any consideration as to whether Gerard Mayo stays, this was a fireable offense kind of football game today, in my opinion. So I don't know where the mindset of the Crafts is. Again, it's their decision. And quite honestly, I think if you believe in Gerard Mayo enough to make him the coach in waiting, to give him really little structure around him, to not support him with strong, experienced leadership at coordinators or even at GM, if you trusted him that much to build a culture, then you can't fire him because of today's game. This is on you, Robert Kraft. This is on you, Jonathan Kraft. You failed to put a structure in place around your chosen one, who everybody on earth knew wasn't ready to be the man, to really stand up like he's Atlas and hold an organization up. And that's what you asked him to do. You threw him to the wolves. You got no talent on the roster, in any area of the roster. By the way, today was a nightmare game for a portion of time for Patriots fans. If you didn't watch, Drake May takes a hit to the head on the sideline. He goes to the blue tent. He goes to the locker room. Not long after, Christian Gonzalez is knocked out of the game with a concussion, a head injury. Talk about a nightmarish scenario beyond just the scoreboard. And that's where this team is. That was a debacle of a loss. I had one guy on Twitter contact me. He wants optimism, baby. So here's my effort at optimism. Number two pick, baby. Number one still in play. That's all I got for you. Because nothing else on this football team, this field, nobody should go home happy. Nobody should go home and say, well, I did my part today. Alex Van Pelt, some of the plays offensively were as poorly executed as we've seen from a Patriots team in, I don't even know how long. Forget, like, the Matt Patricia era. This was worse than the Matt Patricia era. This was as bad as you'll see in offense. They ran a, excuse me, trick play that I'm not really sure what the play was supposed to
be. What was the trick?
I don't know.
I couldn't quite tell what the trick was.
I mean, maybe the trick was Hunter Henry was going to tackle Drake May because he was running toward Drake May. You had Pop Douglas running toward Drake May. You had Stevenson running away from Drake May. And I think May was trying to palm the ball out in the air to do something. It all ended up with the ball on the ground and a turnover for the Patriots. Their 29th fumble of the season. Sounds like a lot because it is a lot. So I can't bring a lot of positivity to the game because if you wore a Patriot logo or you collect a paycheck from the Patriots, you screwed up today. You were terrible at your job today. I'm sorry. It is what it is. That doesn't mean necessarily I'm calling for everybody to be fired, but I'm here to listen to those conversations. 617-779-7937. We will be here up until 7 o'clock. We will hear from Gerard Mayo, who promised everybody that he would bench Ramondre Stevenson, and then Stevenson started the game, so I'm sure we'll find out what the hell happened there. We will hear from Drake May, who made the dumbest play of his Patriots tenure, in my opinion, taking a fourth down sack where he lost,
twice,
I don't even know,
by the way.
15. But one of them, he kept running backwards toward the goal line. He's
and
like,
how about the other fourth down where it's fourth and sixth and they throw a five-yard pass?
That's like, why this offense was as embarrassing as it's been today. And I have been a bit of a defender of AVP. I actually think he's been their best coach this year in totality and the job he's done with Drake May and Drake May appreciating the development. Today, this offense was an embarrassment. The line was an embarrassment. The receivers were an embarrassment. At times, the quarterback was an embarrassment. And that falls on the offensive coordinator, the HC of the offense, Alex Van Pelt. So, seemingly, he's sort of embattled right now, fighting for his job, fighting to stick around, whatever. This was the worst possible time for his worst possible game of the young season. So, Patriots fall 40-7. 617-779-7937. Okay, we've spewed a lot of negativity, and I spewed my one positive, John Lyons. You're Mr. Positivity at times. Should I assume there is no more positivity?
Yeah, look, Andy, I always try to tell the truth on these airwaves, as you know. And it just the truth of the matter is this was about as bad as it gets, really. I mean, you look at that Saints game last year, 34-0. Today, 40-7. I mean, I walk away from both of those games with very similar feelings. The only difference is, at least I believe in the young quarterback you have this time around, but even Drake May, I thought, did not play that well today. He missed multiple throws. There was an out route to Kendrick Bourne that would have been a first down that he just overthrew. I mean, and he wasn't terrible by any means, but then your defense gives up not one, but two 90-plus yard touchdown drives. Ladd McConkey just dances all over you today. It's just about as bad, I think, as it could possibly get. And Andy, you started the show by calling me the coach, and obviously I spent many years coaching football, and I hate to always reflexively say, oh, this guy should be fired, that guy should be fired, because I think not enough people understand or appreciate how hard it is to do those jobs. But this was the type of game, coupled with the Arizona loss coming out of the bye, the Jets loss in week three, the 49ers loss in week four, where that can get coaches and GMs fired, that kind of string of events. You look at as bad as last year was, they lost five games by multiple scores, Andy. This year, this was their seventh loss, I believe, by multiple scores already, and they still have a game to go. So think, as bad as things were last year, 4-13 team, it was terrible, especially offensively. This year's team's worse, even with better quarterback play.
Even with better quarterback play and worse everything else.
Because, and that's another piece of this, Andy, and I know we can get into this as the show goes on. Think about how many guys on this team are better football players than they were 8 months ago when, you know, before training camp. I can think of two total out of 53 guys that I look at and say, oh, he's developed under this coaching staff. Yep. He's improved his game. Two guys out of 53, I think, are better football players than they were in June.
Yeah, no, they're struggling right now. We're going to get to the phones early and often because I am a man of the people and I want to hear from the people. If I have to cut you short, it's because either Gerard May or Drake May steps to the podium.
Wait, you're going this early to you people?
I love my people. You people are my people today because other than fighting with people about what a helmet-to-helmet hit is, I feel like we're all in the same boat. We're all pissed off. We all didn't like what we saw. We were not entertained. Thumbs down. And we just want this season to end, and we want to find out how the hell we can get this football team back to at least competing and entertaining. So in that vein, let's go to the car, and let's say Will in the car wants to join us first here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. What do you got, Will?
I am representing us people, and we've got some questions. But, Andy, you and I were of the same mindset in August. Tell me, when we were making predictions of the final record, what was yours?
Mine was 3-14. I had
5-12.
Okay. But I thought zero wins was in play. I thought an 0-for season was in play, and I still believe it was in play.
100%. So do I. So what I'm struggling with is the shock and awe when we finally get there. We all said it. We all saw what the trade. You saw it coming. Yep. Nothing got better. Yeah, there was a nice infusion from Drake May. We knew what the coaches were. We knew the offensive line wasn't. We watched a marginal defense lose key players, yet we're just in the moment we're emotional people, but now we're losing our minds because what we predicted to be a terrible team is terrible. I'm struggling. Help me make sense.
All right. Thanks for the call, Will. I will help it make sense because we are Robert Kraft. And what do I mean by that? No, don't go check your bank account. You didn't win the Mega Millions last night. You don't have $1 billion. We all knew the team was going to stink, just like Robert Kraft knew the team was going to stink. He made comments early in the year, we know there's rough times ahead, hopefully not too rough. And yet, when you actually live it and deal with it, it's hard. Because a number, a 3-14 season on paper in August, easy. A 3-14 season in which your stadium is half empty and the people that are there are chanting for you to fire your first year head coach, who you compared to your wives in terms of your support of him and your decision to hire him with your gut. That's where it gets difficult. And that's where we are. You're living through a terrible season. And it's something I started saying last year when Bill Belichick struggled and started saying really dumb things and doing really dumb things. Losing is undefeated. Let me say it again. Losing is undefeated. It breaks men. It breaks women. It breaks billionaires. It breaks young athletes. It breaks old athletes. It breaks young coaches. It breaks old coaches. We are living that world the last couple years. And John Lyons, we're living it as media members. We lived the good lives for a long time, right? Roll out of bed. This team has, excuse me, carry the 7 wins in the last 2 years. 7 wins used to
be 2 months.
That used
to be their first 2 months, yeah.
Right. We would cover a team, and you're like, I don't know how good they are. They're only 7-2.
Yeah, they're only 6-3. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Right.
I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in NFL history. Well, you know what? It's a lot different being a miserable 8-0 quarterback than it is being a miserable 3-13 football team. And misery has set in New England for multiple years now.
Yeah, and I think to the caller's point, it's like we all knew coming in they would be bad. But I think what's really hit us in the face is how at multiple times they've just been flat out uncompetitive. Like I mentioned, that Jets loss in week 3, the 49ers in week 4, today Arizona, like there's Jacksonville in London, and I think also Andy too, they've looked like that against bad teams. Like the Jets only have 4 wins this year, and one of them is a dominant win over the Patriots. The Jaguars only have 3 wins. One of them is a 16-point win over the Patriots. The Titans only have 3 wins. One of them is over the Patriots. Like it's not just that they've been uncompetitive, Andy. It's like San Francisco only has 6 wins. One of them was a blowout win over the Patriots. Like they've been non-competitive and or losing to really bad teams throughout the year. It's not like it's all been last week against Buffalo or week 2 against Seattle where there were competitive losses to good teams. Some of the worst teams in the NFL can hang their hat on the fact that, oh, well, we beat the Patriots.
And I wasn't even striving for competitive. I was, we're going now to Jerod
really
Mayo. We'll see what he has
to take out of that game today. You know, just the lack of execution. Look, that's a good football team, and they're a well-coached football team. We just didn't play well enough in any phase of the game. No complimentary football, and that's what you get. Fire away.
Jerod, after what you guys were able to do in Buffalo, short week and a lot of talk about, you know, coming out strong, how disappointing, frustrating, surprising is this effort from your team today?
That's very disappointing, and it comes back to consistency. I mean, that's what it is, consistency.
Jerod, before the game, you said on the radio that Antonio Gibson would start at running back and then Ramondre was on the field. What went into the last-minute change there?
That was just a coach's decision. Coach's decision.
Can I just follow up on that, Jerod? Did something change from the time you did the interview to the game to lead that, or was there a miscommunication that maybe the message wasn't handed down?
I understand your question, Mike. Look, it's a coach's decision. That's why I leave it at that.
Jerod, you and DeMarcus have ascribed your defensive struggles this year to fundamentals, run fits, and tackling. The Chargers just became the third team to score their season high in points against you, so it looks like the defense has regressed. What gives you confidence that this defensive coaching staff is suited to develop this defense next season?
Look, I have nothing but confidence in the coaching staff, and look, we'll get better, and it's part of what we have to do. So I have to look at the film and see what, you know, some of those things that you're talking about happen on the field, but look, we got to get better.
Jerod, just curious, you know, I do see Drake over there, but obviously Drake has suffered the head injury, had to be evaluated for one in the first quarter. You guys are down by 30 in the fourth quarter, and you sent him out there for 2 drives. How much thought was there to pulling him from that game down 30 and trying to protect him?
Again, look, we're trying to develop a quarterback, and he wants to play as a competitor, and we're not there.
Jerod, with one game...
Jerod, over here.
Oh, sorry.
With one game left, how much pressure do you feel, and do you feel like you and your coordinators are coaching for your jobs?
Look, I'm always under pressure, and it's been that way for a very long time, not just when I became a head coach of the Patriots. I'm okay. Look, and again, I always do what's best for the team.
Jerod, the fans at home have never been shy about expressing their thoughts about the team. We've heard it with Mac and we heard it with Bailey. Were you cognizant of the chants that were being directed at you towards the end of the game today?
Look, you hear those things, but at the same time, look, they paid to sit in the seats and we got to play better. If we play better, we don't have to hear that stuff. So,
Jerod, can you describe for us the play where there was the fumble on the pitch from Drake, and what was the design of that play?
Yeah, look, I have to watch the film to see what exactly happened, but just the exchange obviously was the problem there. It was a turnover.
Jerod, a consistent message with you each week has been, we have to get better, we have to get better, we have to pick things up. Obviously, it feels like this may be trending in the wrong direction. Do you see it that way? And, you know, what point do you feel like you need to see it get better?
Yeah, to me, every game is unique. It's a game in itself. And look, I said at the beginning of this press conference, it's about consistency, which we are not right now.
Two final questions. Hi, Gerard. I was just curious. It looked like on that field goal right before halftime, some of the players were signaling that it wasn't actually a good kick. I was curious kind of what you saw on that and your thoughts about that whole play.
Yeah, to me, it really, you know, it didn't matter what anyone saw. You know, they look at all the scoring plays and they called it good, and you just got to be able to move forward.
Kai, last question.
Do you see this being, after this game, do you see this being more of a talent issue or a coaching issue? Because you did say that you've got full confidence in the staff.
Yeah, I have full confidence in the staff. I have full confidence in the players in there. I think, again, it just comes down to being consistent across the board. Thanks, guys.
That was Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo, who unfortunately – oh, Drake May right after him. Let's go, Drake.
We're back.
Drake, just take us through your day, especially your health and what happened in coming back, but also just how disappointing after what you guys were able to do in Buffalo was this effort today from you guys.
Yeah, just kind of got my bell rung in the first drive. I don't know if any of y'all ever played, you know, really got hit, but you sometimes get your bell rung and got shake back. So I guess the spotter called down again and had to pass some tests, so I feel good, still feel good, and feel like I was good to go. And then just the game, I think. Just things weren't rolling away. I think kind of felt like, you know, a little bit of Arizona. We really couldn't get in the rhythm offensively. And obviously the pitch was unfortunate. Just, you know, we had a blitz off the edge that just happened to be, you know, a good call on their part. And then just felt like, you know, all day we were nothing they were doing. We just, you know, got to play cleaner football and got to help, you know, our defense out when they're moving the ball well. Stay on the field. You know, time possession was, you know pretty one-sided.
Increase in the front row.
Drake, you were – passionate defending Gerard and Alex when you were asked recently. Can you just explain what, in your view, they're doing well that gives you hope and promise for the future?
Yeah, I think they're still bringing it every week. I think that's the biggest thing you say. You know, they're not quitting. They're still, you know, coaching as hard since week one. They're still, you know, studying film as hard, still meeting. You know, still meeting as hard. So I think the biggest thing was this: you don't see those guys quitting. And I think, you know, the score may not tell today, but I feel like these guys, you know, these guys are still wanting to win. We're still leaving it all out there every week. And I think that was kind of, you know, my message to the team: man, just give it all you got. Man, it's our last two games, and this one today. So we got one more chance next week, and just leave it all out there.
Coach was asked about you staying in the game late, and he said, again, we're trying to develop a quarterback. He also said that you're a competitor and so forth. Was there a discussion late in the game about you staying in or coming out earlier than you did?
I want to be in the game. I think that's the biggest thing. I want to be in the game. I want to be out there with those guys. You know, if our guys are out there, I want to be out there with them and may see something that may help us next week out there.
So what I asked was there a discussion, though, or is it just an understanding?
Understand it.
Mike Giardi in the front.
Drake, is there a sort of a fine line when you turn into a ball carrier like you did on the play where you got your bell rung of, you know, trying to make the yardage, but also, again, we've talked about this, about trying to protect yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I think, probably should just throw it away or, play the next series. You know, it's third down, so I was trying to get a first, and I guess I stepped out of bounds before. But, I definitely think, you know, in the first quarter of a game where, third down is, you know, my mentality, go get it. But at the same time, you got to know kind of the situation.
Sophie Buller, far right.
Drake, over here. I'm just curious, on the touchdown to DeMario Douglas, were you aware when you kind of took that shot, like, was that the play call, or was that a result of kind of seeing that you had a free play based on the penalty that was called?
Yeah, kind of seeing free play. You know, we worked on it this week, and you know, just give those guys a chance. You know, we got a penalty to give those guys a chance, and, you know, negative play on a free play doesn't hurt, and I think the biggest thing is not take a hit, so I try to get it off before, you know, I got hit, and, you know, Pop made a great play.
Drake, over the last month, the team may have not have been winning games, but there was a feeling there was development, there was growth taking place, and the group was heading in the right direction. This result obviously kind of hits in a different way. How do you feel overall about the growth and development of the team overall, and do you have questions about whether you are trending in the right direction?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think John Jones hit it, you know, in the locker room after. I think, you know, it's just two different teams, I feel like, that showed up, you know, with us between this week and last week. And I think the two playoff teams we faced, and we see what we could do against, you know, a playoff team last week. And just feel like it wasn't there this week. I think, you know, whether it's just look back and self-evaluate, look myself in the mirror, I definitely left some plays out there. So everybody's got to, you know, look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you know, am I doing, you know, whatever we need to do to be on the same page and play good football? And I think it's in there. I think it's in store for us. Like I said, last week, we got you know, people in here that can make plays and you know, good players in this league. So we just gotta, you know, put it all together and you know, find a way to, you know, do more, get on the same page offensively, and you know, kind of get the ball rolling. I feel like, you know, I think that's kind of the tale of two tales. When we're rolling well, and you know, when we're not, we're kind of stagnant.
Drake, you know, Coach Mayo mentioned, you know, trying to develop you, develop a quarterback. What was the value in your mind of those two series you played in the fourth quarter? And my second question would be, do you feel like at this point in your NFL career, you're able to protect yourself out there? You know how to do that without compromising competitive integrity?
For sure. I think that's, you know, second part of your question, definitely an even balance between being competitive and, you know, protecting myself out there, especially in a, you know, scenario like that. But at the same time, I want to go down there and move the ball. You know, want to move the ball, want to, you know, get some juices flowing for these guys and, you know, make everybody, you know, at least offensively say, hey, you know, we can still move the ball on these guys and go score. So that's the mentality. First part of your question was
the value of those two series.
Yeah, the value. I want to be out there. Like I said, I want to be out there. We'll be out there with those guys, and then they have those guys up front, you know, they're battling their butts off, so, you know, I'm not going to be out there and, you know, go to the coach and say, hey, take me out. Like, it's not me.
Derek Hyde on the far right.
Drake over here. What happened on the toss to DeMario Douglas, the fumble there?
Yeah, just we practiced play for a long time. You know, I feel like we were executing well, and they have to bring, you know, the nickel off the edge, and I think, you know, he's kind of, you know, right by Pop, and that's going to be unfortunate. Just a, you know, good call on their part. And then I've got to give to him a better ball to catch. That's, you know, really, you know, falls back on me. So I think kind of Pop may have, you know, readjusted his thing a little bit, you know, his route or his path, just because of the blitzer off the edge. But yeah, really, I just got to give him a chance to, you know, can't turn the ball over.
Two final questions, Sophie Willer, far right.
Drake, I was just curious over here on the side. I was curious with Cole Strange. Obviously, Ben Brown was out today, so we saw Cole at center. What's it been like working with him, and just how was that being out on the field with him for this first game today?
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. You know, a lot of pressure, you know, on him. He's, you know, first starter center. Center's a different job than playing guard. So, you know, I was proud of the way he worked, proud of the way he fought. You know, got to watch the tape and, you know, probably go over some little things that maybe we could do better. But, you know, he caught the guys off sides. That's really him doing that. Snapped the ball, and, you know, really, you know, credit to him.
Drake, the first play you came back into the game, you scrambled 9 yards and took another hard hit there, right? Is that the kind of like the message or the signal you try to pass to your teammate that we need to play tough, we need to play a competitive game?
Yeah, anytime, you know, I'm telling the doctors I'm good to go. I mean, I'm going to come back and, you know, give it all I got. So maybe could have had, you know, booty on a crossing route there. I could have thrown it, but end up, you know, getting the flag. But, you know, I think that's, you know, message to those guys. Hey, you know, I'm coming back. I'm ready to go. I'm kind of same thing when I came back from the concussion. You know, be the same player. And if I'm not, you know, feel like I'm not 100% to go and the best me out there, you know, I won't put myself back out there.
Patriots rookie quarterback Drake May discussing the New England 40-7 loss to the Chargers this afternoon at a soggy Gillette Stadium. Here on the Six Rings postgame show, which is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Patriots, as I said, dropped their 13th game of the season, 40-7. Lines are loaded, Patriot Nation, so we are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to hit those phone lines, 617-779-7937, right after this.
Yeah, it's kind of got my bell rung in the first drive. I don't know if any of y'all ever played, you know, really got hit, but you sometimes get your bell rung, and got to shake back, so I think I guess the spotter called down again and had to pass some tests, so I feel good, still feel good, and yeah, just things weren't rolling away. I think kind of felt like, you know, a little bit of Arizona. We really couldn't get in a rhythm offensively, and just felt like, you know, all day we were nothing they were doing. We just, you know, got to play cleaner football, and got to help, you know, our defense out when they're moving the ball. We'll stay on the field. You know, time possession was, you know, pretty one-sided.
Patriots quarterback Drake May avoided significant injury, apparently, but he and his team could not avoid the insult of an embarrassing calamity debacle of a loss, 40-7 at the hands of Harbaugh's Chargers. The Chargers qualify for the postseason with the victory, and the Patriots remain in line for one of the top two picks in the NFL draft. You're listening to the Six Rings postgame show. Andy Hart here alongside John Lyons. And John, the phones are absolutely loaded, so we are going to go back because, as I said, I'm a man of the people, and I want to talk to you people at 617-779-7937. Line up, because as soon as we get to Jesse in New Bedford, his line will be open in just a second. Jesse, what's going on tonight?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to cut right to the chase. Listen,
These Patriots, the organization, thought they could run it back. They thought the problem was Belichick and Mac, because what they did was they elevated the linebackers coach, took out Belichick and Mac. All they did differently, really, was bring in an OC. And they, because they re-signed all the defensive players, they really thought they could run it back, and they were horribly, horribly wrong. May, you can just tell he is not, I mean, Mayo, you can tell he's not it. They don't make no adjustments, Andy. They don't do nothing. It's embarrassing. You can tell they don't play. He has no feel for the game. They got to start over, and they got to rebuild with a proven asset or one of these young up-and-coming guys. The offense looks horrible. The defense looks even worse. If anybody can't admit that you need a clean house, you're just lying to yourself. Let's be honest. It's time to move on for Mayo. And some of these players need to get cut, too. It's time. It's over. It's over. Let's go. Turn the page.
Thanks for the call, Jesse. It is almost over, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever way you want to describe it. The Patriots do have one more week, a season finale, which you might get to see Mitchell Trubisky and the Buffalo Bills. We do need to clip that, Joe Braverman. The offense is bad, but the defense is worse, or whatever he said there. And I want to go to you, John Lyons, on that, because feels like Alex Van Pelt has been sort of the lightning rod of criticism, or the whipping boy for the media, the masses, everybody. But this defense has been horrifically bad most of the season. Fall off from even standby players, stand-up guys like John Jones, who looks like a shell of himself chasing Ladd McConkey all around the field today. And he actually got lucky that Ladd McConkey dropped a third touchdown in the end zone when he beat him pretty badly. But I feel like DeMarcus Covington and the defensive side of the ball have skated a little bit in the shadow of the criticism of Alex Van Pelt in the offense.
Well, Andy Hart, they have not skated if you've been listening to the KJ and Lyons show at night on WEEI, because we've been all over that for like 5 months now. And look, they've played 16 games so far this year, Andy. I can only think of one where they have outcoached the other team on defense, and that was the Chicago game, and Chicago ended up firing their OC, what, the next day or 2 days later? Right. Their head coach was fired a month. Well, yeah, or not even
they outcoached a coach who doesn't have a job.
Right. They outcoached the guys that are unemployed.
And I think the thing with the defense, too. So Bill Belichick leaves, Steve Belichick leaves, and you trade Matthew Judon. And the Barmore injury was there in camp. So these were all things we knew going into the year. So I expected, Andy, this defense to take a little bit of a step back. Because in most categories last year, they were about top seven, top eight. Whether it was third down, red zone, yards, they were essential. And even points per game, they were 15th. But that's because their offense gave up 38 points on pick sixes and fumbles, which gets factored into that, unfortunately. But they were essentially a top seven, eight defense. So I expected them to maybe be 12th, 13th even. And do you look at a lot of these metrics? They're in the mid to late 20s. Like, they have massively fallen off. And it's not just, hey, the Bills rushed for 172 yards, and then the Chargers today rushed for, I think it was 140. I don't have the exact number in front of me what the Chargers rushed for today. It's not just that those teams have run all over them. It's not just that the Jaguars ran the ball 18 times in a row. It was 147 yards for the Chargers today, by the way. It's not just that, Andy. Think of the critical situations where this defense has not executed well. Like Seattle, you give up the points right before halftime, the huge drive at the end of the game to tie it, the drive in overtime to lose it. Then San Francisco, miscommunications, you give up big passes left and right in that game. Similar in the Houston game, the Jacksonville game I mentioned there. But again, Tennessee, you give up a huge drive near the end of the game. Then an eventual game-winning drive in overtime. The Rams, you call a zero blitz early in the third quarter. You give up a 69-yard touchdown. The Colts game, you give up that long drive at the end of the game and a two-point conversion. So it's not just that, hey, they're tackling poorly, they're getting run on left and right. When they need to execute in a key situation, more often than not, they fail. And that, from a defense that was a top seven unit a year ago, it's in a way mind-blowing, in a way unacceptable, in a way it's just demoralizing too.
Yeah, I thought the defense would take a step back. I was listening early in the year to the Mina Kimes of the world tell me this was going to be a top five, top seven, top ten defense. I just didn't see it, but I didn't think it would fall this far. I'm with you. I think every time they've had any sort of a gotta-have-it play or a pressure situation, or just a flat-out opportunity to lift their offense, lift their team, lift the spirits, They failed miserably. Miserably. I'd even go back to last week when you go.
Sorry to cut you off, Andy, but even that Jets game they won, it was because Jacoby Brissett drove down and got him a touchdown at the end. The defense gave up what would have been the game-winning touchdown right before that.
But those are the ones that get all the attention. I think there's one last week. You go up 14-0, and then you immediately give up a 46-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Like, you took momentum, you spit on it, you rolled it up, and you flushed it down the toilet. It was, they're an embarrassment, and that's on DeMarcus Covington. That's on some of those veteran players. It's also on, by the way, the head coach, who was the co-coordinator of the defense with the Belichick clan that just left. Anyway, we're going to go to Rhode Island now because we need a level-headed assessment, and Dan in Rhode Island is always level-headed. Right, Dan?
Sober, yes.
What's up?
Andrew, I want to stick up for May on that play where he got sacked on fourth down.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he was trying to run out of the stadium to his car. They just caught him in time.
He was trying to pull the Bo Jackson, the reverse Bo Jackson,
yeah,
right out
like,
the tunnel.
Yeah,
and out.
Well, because at that point in the game, a lot of people were leaving anyway, so maybe he was trying to beat the traffic.
Yeah. And join the fans.
Yeah. couple things real quick. Don't forget, McConkey was the one that knocked out Gonzalez to make it even worse. And my favorite play of the day was when Derwin James Heisman'd Antonio Gibson to pancake.
Oh, God.
May. Oh, that was incredible. But look, here's the thing. Like, the whole thing about last week, I've never been on board like this week-to-week analysis. Well, Mayo kept his job and because they were competitive. The only reason they've won any game, you go back to the Chicago game, they had 9 sacks. I don't think they've had 9 sacks since, total. And it's just a bad team who doesn't show up, they could win. That's Chicago. And a good team that doesn't show up, like Buffalo, is still going to win. And what I'm really afraid of, and you'll probably talk about it all week, is look at the standings. There is a boatload of teams that are 3-12 or 4-11 right behind them, and they're going to find the JV squad next week in Buffalo, and they'll somehow find a way to screw it up because all these teams are willing to give you a store to get to the quarterback, and you know they're going to screw it up. It's just, it's career ending for Mayo and a lot of other guys if they win next week. I really think it's that important of a game to lose.
All right,
so much at stake.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Good line on the Drake May running through the tunnel part. I have my concerns about next week as well, and we can get to that as the week goes on. Mitchell Trubisky, if that's the opponent. Now, don't disregard the opportunity here. The quarterback just said on our press conference that he got his bell rung, so you never know how things tend to linger, and he may need to go back in the concussion protocol. And then, you know, who played late? Jacoby Brissett played late in the game. Who knows whether he pulled a hammy? You might have to start Joe Milton against the Bills in the season finale, and we might have to do Mitchell Trubisky versus Joe Milton in the season finale and really go all in on the highest draft pick possible. I'm kidding. Sort of.
Happy New Year
sort of.
On that one.
Only sort of. 617-779. Dan's line is 779-7937. I should finish the number before I interrupt myself. Dan's line
God,
is open.
Go ahead, where's Fitzy when you need him?
We don't ever need Fitzy. This is a much better combo. Lions and Hart here on the Six
I'm
Rings
Post. Hey, Joe, save that, please.
Lions and Hart on the Six Rings Post Game Show. The only positive thing going on in Patriot Nation today is this post game show. And your phone calls, and we'll get to more of those next after a quick break.
Gerard, you and DeMarcus have described your defensive struggles this year to fundamentals, run fits, and tackling. The Chargers just became the third team to score their season high in points against you, so it looks like the defense has regressed. What gives you confidence that this defensive coaching staff is suited to develop this defense next season?
Look, I have nothing but confidence in the coaching staff, and look, we'll get better, and it's part of what we have to do. So I have to look at the film to see what, you know, some of those things that you're talking about happen on the field, but we got to get better.
That's Gerard Mayo, Patriots head coach, following the Patriots 40-7 loss to the Chargers at Gillette Stadium this afternoon, falling to 3-13 on the season, therefore guaranteeing that Gerard Mayo's guarantee to the Greg Hill Show last January that they would win more football games, that is long gone and buried.
Are we glad there's 17 games now, so we have one more week?
No, I could have put a bullet in this. I could have old yellered this
14
season
games in.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Go back to the old 70s days with 14 games. I would have been quite okay with that. Gerard Mayo is feeling the heat. Our lines are loaded with criticisms of lots of people. Hopefully not us. That's John Lyon's voice you heard, by the way, filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. But I know Ross Tucker kind of slapped around analytics during the broadcast, which I enjoyed because I'm not an analytics guy. But I do like to put numbers to opinions sometimes. And we're going to hear all these callers criticize Mayo and AVP and DeMarcus Covington and others. So I put up a quick poll, John Lyons, on my Twitter feed. Do you believe Jerod Mayo should keep his job as Patriots HC heading toward 2025? In 1 minute or two, I got about 300 votes, and this may not surprise you. 92% voted no, he should not keep his job. Only 8% supporting Jerod Mayo. Do you believe, John Lyons, Jerod Mayo should lose his job?
Yeah, I hate to say it, Andy, as a coach myself, but yeah, I mean, if you can get Brian Flores or Mike Vrabel, then I think you make that move at this point. And look, I understand the most important reason and the biggest reason the Patriots are bad is the roster, right? It's not the coaching staff, it's the roster. However, but 7 games now, they've lost by multiple scores, looked uncompetitive. There's 2 players total, Drake May and Marte Mapu in my eyes. Only 2 guys on this team that I think are better players than they were in July. So player development really hasn't been there. And, I mean, I don't. Andy, is this team improving week to week? I mean, I know I'm kind of, it's a rhetorical, obvious question, but that's what you got to think. Because it's one thing to have a bad roster, right? Like the Carolina Panthers have a bad roster. They've improved as the year has gone on. There's plenty of teams out there that have bad rosters that have improved as the year has gone on. So for every Dan Campbell out there that has a terrible first year and a bad start to his second year and then turns it around, there's plenty of guys that have a bad year because they're just not cut out to be head coach. Now, it doesn't mean Jerod Mayo could never be a good head coach, but, I mean, Bill Belichick got fired from his first job in Cleveland. Maybe it's just not the right time for him, and I think a lot of it, too, is the infrastructure around him. I mean, you hire a rookie head coach, and you give him a rookie DC, rookie special teams coordinator, Jeremy Springer, nice guy, by the way. We talked to him the other day on KJ and Lyons, filling in for Jones and Keefe, but rookie GM, essentially a rookie OC. I know he called plays in 2009, 15 years ago, but never really fully run an offense since then. Even position coach-wise, your receivers coach, to my knowledge, has not been a position coach in the NFL ever. Dont'a Hightower, loved the player, but it's his first year coaching there as well. You have a rookie head coach with limited coaching experience, and you surrounded him with a bunch of other people with limited experience in their roles. It's just, to me, Andy, it's a collective failure, and this is the first time this year I've really said it, but to me it's trending towards a huge overhaul next year, especially if you can get Mike Vrabel or Brian Flores as your head coach.
Multiple things can be true. You can have a terrible roster. You can have terrible assistant coaches. You can have an ill-prepared, bad head coach. There's only one thing that won't change. We know that. That's Robert and Jonathan Kraft will be running the Patriots this time next year and in perpetuity, in all likelihood, through the Kraft family ownership of the team. Everything else is renting, is negotiable, and they almost have this weird, why do they stink? Is it the coaching or the roster? Well, it's like a bad chicken or the egg thing. They get a dead chicken and a broken egg, right? Like, that's what
both.
They are.
And also, too, and like, I know these people work hard and they're usually, they don't get paid the big bucks, but this is basically mostly the same scouting staff that had a bunch of bad drafts under Bill Belichick, too. And a lot of the same people developing players. Like, was there any thought to make changes there or to even just bring in new people in those areas? Like, that's another piece of this, too, because we can say Elliott Wolf made bad picks in the draft after Drake May, and that very well could be true, but was Mac Rowe involved in that? Were other regional scouts involved in that who maybe were also involved in previous drafts? And I'm not absolving Bill Belichick of previous bad drafts, but, I mean, he wasn't the only one working in that front office. Were other folks there that are still here a problem? I mean, they need to take a look from top down this organization and see what has worked this year, which has been very few things, what has not worked, and they have to be open to making, whether it's changes, additions, what, like, this is, I mean, we're talking 7 wins in 2 years.
Matt Groh famously said, if you want a fast team, you got to draft fast players. There was a meme making the rounds on Twitter today that made me laugh. It was Matt Groh.
By the way, that 2022 draft, when he first got promoted to director of player personnel or whatever, Cole Strange started at center today. Nobody else from that draft was on the field for the Patriots.
It was putrid, but I don't blame Matt Groh. But he did make the dumb comment, if you want a fast team, you get a draft.
Well, the reason
players.
I bring up Groh's name is that was the first year they pivoted to relative athletic score being the most important thing in the draft. Right. And I think, again, Bill was the ultimate drafter, but I think Matt Groh had a big influence.
Don't tell me Matt Groh drafted.
No, but I think Matt Groh very well had an influence on the relative athletic score being the be-all, end-all for that draft.
Well, if you want to be a bad team, as the meme said, you draft bad players, and that's where the Patriots have been more often than not, other than the first round in the last 2 years. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. The misery isn't just in New England. We go to Westchester, New York, where Matt wants to chime in with his thoughts on the Patriots and this debacle of a season and a game. What's up, Matt?
Matt?
Joe, is Matt not there? Okay, let's go to Jeff in the truck. He has a couple questions about what the future might hold for the Patriots. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
Good.
That's earlier in the week, you were doing the give me your 60-second spiel. I will not do that. I'm going to go with a couple premises. We are not firing Robert Kraft because he lives here. He owns the team.
Yep.
Mayo and Van Pelt are overmatched, but it is bad for a quarterback's development to fire a head coach and an offensive coordinator and make him learn a new system after one season. So that's going to stick around. The way to get back to relevance is to auction off what should be the second overall draft pick. I don't know if you can pull another first for it the next year, if it's two twos or three twos, whatever it is. Sell high on number two and be boring and stock up on offensive and defensive linemen. Because if you can't protect the kid, nothing good is going to happen.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jeff. We're going to definitely be dabbling and trending in that direction where we're going to be talking about the draft pick and what to do with it. Where does it end up after next weekend's action? Do you end up in those top two spots, which, you know, a lot of people are talking themselves into the idea that there's going to be a couple quarterbacks available, and if you're in that two spot, you can get a bounty from somebody, or as Gerard Mayo would say, a bag from somebody for the number two pick where a team would go get a quarterback. I do believe that is the play. Beyond that, I disagree with Jeff a little bit. There is this prevailing mentality in Patriot Nation now. You're just going to draft offensive linemen. Not if they're not good. I don't like that's how you get in trouble. Cole Strange was starting at center today. He has not proven himself to be a first round worthy offensive lineman. Just because you need something and take it in the first round doesn't mean it fills a need for you. This team, and you said it, John Lyons, best when you were talking about talent and guys who are getting better and having impact. I agree with you. Marte Mapu in the last 2 to 3 weeks has flashed, has shown some developmental ability at safety, some athleticism. So I'll maybe add him to a mix of 4 or 5 guys that are trending upward with May and Gonzalez. But this team needs players, blue chip players. I don't care what position you play.
If you love football, this is the place to be.
Yeah, well, if you love football, they're starting to question the love.
I'm 100% on team trade down if you have a top 3 pick. I still want to stay in the top 10.
But you can't just say I'm going to trade down and take a lineman if the lineman isn't going to be
a
starting caliber. Like,
but
that's forcing it. That's how you lose your job and you're a crappy team for 10 years instead of 5 years.
I think there's going to be top 10 worthy linemen in the draft is what I'm getting at. Like, so I would trade down. I would take Will Campbell or Calvin Banks and call it a day. And that's one of the issues this team has had is sometimes I feel like in the draft they've overthought things. Like Tyquan Thornton over George Pickens. Sometimes, or Jalen Polk over Ladd McConkey. Sometimes you just got to look at the guys and say, hey, which one of these guys is the better football player? Because I think in most instances, they went for measurables or this thing or that thing. And it's like, sometimes you just got to look and say, which guy's the better player? And to the point, I would trade down from 3 and I'd be fine with Campbell or Banks. And I know we have 4 months to talk about the draft.
Yeah,
game, so we don't have to go too deep into it. I just agree with the caller. I'm big on trading down.
Yeah. Well, I'm big on trading down. I think you're a moron if you stay at 2 and don't take the value of the pick into consideration. But I'm not big on trading down and picking anything in particular. I'm taking the best player available. I don't care if he's a D lineman, a cornerback, a pass rusher, because this team needs absolutely everything other than quarterback. And I include cornerback in there. I don't discount
cornerback. They could use another corner.
And
like Alex Austin, I thought, was one of the few guys that competed today and actually played all right. But I don't know. I feel like, especially with Jonathan Jones, and I hate to say this because he's my favorite player on the team, but he's been trending downwards this year. Maybe he's just over the hill age-wise. They're a corner short there, and we don't know what the future holds with Jabril Peppers. Kyle Duggar, I know there's an ankle sprain there, but he's been one of their worst defenders in the second half of the season. So, like, they have some questions. And by the way, that secondary, one of the only places that they actually have continuity and experienced coaches back there.
Oh. And money still, and value. Like, they have a first-round pick. They have a $50 million safety. They have a safety that they re-signed. They have a veteran in Jonathan Jones who...
Multiple Super Bowls.
And I believe has one of the highest cap figures on the team. He's still making decent money as a veteran corner, living off his better days that are clearly
behind
him.
Third contract with the team. One of the few guys.
His better days are like Ladd McConkey. They're behind him. Oh, that's a cheap shot, Andy. Oh, I do love John Jones, and he is one of the
best
interviews.
My favorite player on the team.
He's one of the best interviews on this station, and he'll be talking to the afternoon show. I believe Nick Fitzy-Stevens filling in with myself tomorrow.
No, that's
going to
be me.
Oh, that's right.
On Monday.
Is John Lyons. John Lyons will be filling in, so we will be talking to John Jones tomorrow afternoon, as well as Drake May on the afternoon program on WEEI from Gillette Stadium on a page. Oh. 2 days from now. Screwed up. Today's Saturday. These Saturday games always get me. On Monday afternoon, we'll have Patriots Monday, Gillette Stadium. 617-779-7937. I'm giving you the number so you can punch it into your phone, but don't hit send because all the lines are loaded right now. We're going to talk to Jake and John and Seth and everybody else just on the other side of the top of the hour. Patriots lose 40-7. Misery needs company in Patriot Nation, and we are here for you people back after this.